Thank you very much at the back for helping out. I was preaching at a church last Sunday, and the sound system went, and the only time it worked was on the videos, so it was a very interesting morning. So thank you very much, and I'm glad the sound works this morning. I don't have to use my outside, well, actually my inside voice. I have quite a loud voice. Thank you very much to Pastor Brian and you as a congregation for the privilege of serving you this morning. You have been a very faithful and supportive congregation of our ministry for a long time. And most recently, this fall in October, when Cartoons and Cool Tunes came through the city, you were the host church. And you did a marvelous job of hosting us. We came with Micah Supervlog and the musician Jordan St. Cyr, and we had a lovely evening here. And I had many of the children who attend your kids' club come with their parents. And so that was a lovely evening. So thank you for that, and thank you for sharing the pulpit, Pastor Brian. I appreciate that as well. And as Charles mentioned, we are going to be studying about Deborah, the character Deborah. So if you have Bibles or a device that you can find these chapters, Judges 4 and 5 are the texts that I'm going to be speaking from this morning. And it's two full chapters, and I promise we'll move through them rather rapidly. So hopefully you'll be able to not only keep pace, but not have your mind wander too much as we move through. I will not read the texts in their entirety, but I will refer to the verses, and some I will read as we go along. But before I begin, I'd love to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedom and the peace in which we gather this morning, even though it's really cold outside. And we just pray, Father, that by your Spirit, you would not only warm our hearts, but that we'd be attentive to what you want us to learn this morning. Thank you for the privilege and the freedom of being able to worship and fellowship with others in this country. Thank you for that gift. May we never take it for granted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I am very sensitive to the freedom and peace in which we live because I work at Square One World Media and we do ministry in six languages and we're a multicultural staff and we work in places where freedom and peace are not, our media goes to places where freedom and peace are not anything to be taken for granted. And our executive director as of 2 years ago is from Afghanistan and a former Muslim who became a Christian. And has many stories to tell, even now, of how his family, who is still there, suffers greatly. So it is something I have always been grateful for, but I am especially grateful for as I continue to hear the stories from my fellow colleagues. Well, when I talked to Pastor Brian about what to speak about this morning, he said you are talking about characters from the Old Testament. And when I was here 7 years ago, I was assigned Judges 4 and 5 to preach from. And so I told him that, and he said, well, then do it again. But I promise this is a different sermon. So we're going to talk about the character Deborah and also Deborah's character. And when I looked up the word character in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, three definitions caught my eye. The first one of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish an individual. The second one, the complex of mental and ethical traits marking and often individualizing a person, group, or nation. And the third one, moral excellence and firmness. So those were the three definitions of the nine that were listed that caught my attention. So this morning we're going to find out who Deborah was, what type of characters she was and characteristics she displayed, why she is significant, and if there's anything we can learn from her. So if you can look at Judges 4, we will move through verses 1 to 10. In chapter 4, it begins by informing us that the Israelites are in trouble, for they have done evil in the sight of the Lord by embracing the gods of the Canaanites. And they are living lives filled with all kinds of lusts and evil. As a result, the Lord sells them, interesting word, sells them to King Jabin of Hazar, who was cruel and oppressive. King Jabin's commander of the army is Sisera, and he has 900 iron chariots and ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites so much so that they cried out to the Lord to help and save them. During this time of the Israelites calling out to the Lord to save them, in verse 4, we are introduced to Deborah, whose name means bee, as in the insect that is important for pollination. The first thing we learn about her in this text is that she is a prophetess, and secondly, that she was the wife of Lapidoth. Deborah's marital status and who she was married to was very important because the text was written in patriarchal times, and this gives context to who she is. So in other words, many, many years ago, my mother was always referred to as Mrs. Daniel Coop. And so this would be Mrs. Lapidoth. And it explained where she fit and who she was married to. Then we find out that not only was Deborah a prophetess, but she was also a judge available to the Israelites. Now, you need to know that this is really incredible for a woman of that time because she held two important positions. There were many women who held the position of prophetess, but she is the only one recorded in Scripture that was both a prophetess and a judge. And so I think back to the three definitions I read you about character, and so I think she fits this one. One of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish an individual. So these are the characteristics of Deborah or the roles that she held that really distinguish her from the rest of the women of her time. Also, because she is the only one who holds both of these roles, we find that she must have had a really great husband because he was not intimidated by the fact that she held two important roles in the culture. And so not only was she someone who was strong of character, but I think Lapidoth was as well because he really supported her in the roles and she was able to carry out both during her time on earth. So I think it gives us insight into who they were as people, but also into their marriage. In verse 5, we find out that Deborah held court under the palm of Deborah, and this was the place the Israelites came to have her settle their disputes. And she settled a wide range of disputes, from relational ones, so if people weren't getting along in families or in business or in the community, they would come to her to settle their disputes. But she also settled property disputes, so if there were issues about who owned what, she was someone they would come to. And it required the Israelites needed to travel a little to get to her. So it must have been worth their while because it says they went to see her under the palm of Deborah, which was between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. So we find out just from those few things that not only was she a judge, but she was a judge the Israelites actually went to go see to help them settle disputes. In verses 6 and 7, Deborah moves into her role as prophetess as she approaches Barak and tells him that he is the one that the Lord, the God of Israel, has called to battle against Jabin's army, which is led by cruel Sisera. Deborah tells Barak he is to take 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun to Mount Tabor, where God will lure Sisera, the commander of the army, his troops, and his 900 iron chariots to the Kishon River. And when Charles read from Psalm 18 this morning and talked about how God is often in the storm, in this particular text, God is in the flood. And what happens is that the prediction is that when Barak follows the prophecy that Deborah has given to him and leads Sisera and all of his men to the Kishon River, there will be a flood, and all of Sisera's men will die. So God promises that he will deliver them, all of these men and their chariots, into the hands of Barak, and Barak will be victorious. So in this particular prophecy, God is in the flood, which could be like a storm for many of us. So if you think about it, this is quite the prophetic message that Deborah was asked to deliver. Once again, the strength of character Deborah displays is admirable. And also, by the by, fits the description of character found in the dictionary of one of moral excellence and firmness. She was given a message from the Lord, told who to deliver the message to, and she did it. Deborah does not seem to complain, move into negotiation mode with the Lord, or walk away from what he is calling her to. There is much about Deborah's character here not only to admire, but to learn from. How do those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ respond to being called to do things that might be difficult for us? Do we respond as Deborah did, or are we found complaining, negotiating, or just walking away from what God is calling us to? In December of 2017, my father, who was almost 104 years old, was dying. And before he died and was in the hospital, he was in the hospital for 2 weeks, he said to me, "Cheryl, because you've been caregiving for me so much these last 4 years, when I die, I want you to take the time you've used to caregive for me, and I want you to do something creative, something for the kingdom of God, and something that will use your gifts and the abilities God has given you." Well, I didn't want to have that conversation. So I thanked my dad and said, "We're not going to talk about when you're going to die." And he said, "Well, I just want you to know I'm going to see Jesus soon, and I think you should think about this." Well, on December 26th of that year, he died. In February of 2018, I was meeting with a radio executive, and he said to me, "Cheryl, have you ever thought of taking your stories and doing a radio show?" And I said, "No, thank you very much. No, and I'm not interested." And then in March of 2018, my executive director and I had a meeting, and he said, "You know, Cheryl, I've been thinking a lot about sort of what the next challenge or call in your life might be, and I was thinking it would be great if you did a radio show." And I said, "No, thank you." And he said, "Wait a minute, you can't just say no." And I said, no, I can just say no. And he said, "No, you have to pray about it." And I thought, oh, shoot, you know, when you do that praying thing, now it's spiritual. And so I agreed I would pray. And I was not like Deborah at all. I was pretty much no. And so I was praying. And I got friends, including my dear friend Marianne, which is Ruth's sister, to pray. And then, in the midst of all of that praying, not only Marianne, but other friends of mine began to say that God was really impressing upon them that I should say yes. And in my personal devotional time and journaling, the yes was swelling. And I was not very good. I was not a Deborah. I was negotiating constantly with God that this was not on the table. And finally, I had a great conversation with Marianne, and she said to me, "You know, Cheryl, people have always asked you to write a book about your life. Maybe God's giving you a different way to do your memoirs, and he's allowing you to tell the stories of your life in a radio show. And I think you should really consider it." And then others echoed the same thing. And in my heart, I already knew the answer should be yes. So I finally succumbed in the summer of 2018. To the yes, and on January 6th, the radio show began to air on 3 stations here in Manitoba. And it's a very vulnerable thing to do, but I do know, without a shadow of a doubt, it is what I'm called to. And it was the start of my dad planting that seed in my heart, but I was not a Deborah. And maybe you're not a Deborah either, and so you like to negotiate, or you like to complain, or you just like to say no, like I did. But the encouragement would be to open your life and your heart to possibilities and to pray about it and see what might happen. So I don't know what God might be calling you to. Maybe it's having a conversation with someone in your family that you've been avoiding. Maybe it's showing kindness to a neighbor that you don't know or don't like. Maybe it's volunteering in a capacity you never saw yourself in. Like this morning, there was a call for volunteering. I don't know what the call is on your life. I don't know if it's big or small. But the question is, how are you and how am I approaching that call? Are we negotiating, complaining, walking away, or are we opening our hearts and yielding to the yes, as Deborah did? Let's look at verse 8. Here Barak responds to Deborah's prophecy and directives from the Lord that he will do what God has called him to on one condition. He wants Deborah to join him. This request from Barak throws Deborah into the possibility of yet another role not usually held by women, that of second in command in a battle. In verse 9 is where Deborah lets Barak know that it is important for him to be obedient to God's directives, but that he must be aware that he will not be the one credited with the victory over Sisera. That credit will go to a woman. Verse 10, the details of the army that accompanies Barak are listed. And at the end of the verse, we are told that Deborah does as she promised and accompanies Barak. She is a woman who keeps her word, a woman of character. Now Judges 4:11-16. In these verses, we are given the details of how the battle unfolds. And if we were a television show or a movie, we would have that little disclaimer that this is for mature audiences only. Barak gathers his 900 chariots and all his warriors to march to the Kishon River. Deborah cheers him on as they travel and reminds him that this is the day that the Lord will give Barak victory over Sisera and that the Lord is going before Barak to the victory. Here we see another aspect of Deborah's character we have not seen before, that of being an encourager. She is willing to be behind Barak and remind him not only of the prophecy given to her by the Lord, but encouraging him that he is not alone in this battle. She is physically present with him, but the Lord has gone before him. Deborah, the prophetess and the judge, is now also showing that she is a partner in battle, an encourager, and one who reminds Barak of the presence of the Lord. When we think of these character traits of partner, encourager, and one who reminds us of the presence of the Lord in our circumstances or battles, who would that be? Do we have a Deborah or several Deborahs in our life? Are we Deborahs for others? This past week, I celebrated the 48 years of being friends with a woman I met in grade 5. We are extremely different in many ways, including our physical presentation. She's very tall and slender. I am very short and round. And that's just where the start of all the differences begin. We were raised very differently in very different homes. And yet since grade 5 to now our 58th year of life, our friendship and eventually our faith have bound us together. She is someone who came to know the Lord later in life as a young adult. And she is one of the many Deborahs in my life that I'm really privileged to have and grateful for. She and her husband are partners in the circumstances, battles I have encountered. They are cheerleaders of mine in a myriad of ways. They are prayer partners, and they are people who share their spiritual wisdoms with me, often at just the time I need them. They're also people who always send me great flowers whenever something severe or sad goes on in my life, or just because. I am grateful not only that she is a dear friend, but that she also displays many of the character traits of Deborah in our friendship. And I hope that in return, I am a Deborah to her and her husband as well. Verses 15 and 16 indicate that the battle is a fierce one. And in the end, Barak triumphs and all of Sisera's men are killed. But now let's go to verse 17. And here's something very interesting we find out. We find out that all of Sisera's men are killed except for him. He's the leader of the army. What do you think that indicates about his leadership? Personally, I think it indicates he's really selfish. It's kind of like the captain of the ship that got hit off the coast of Greece. So many people died, but somehow the captain stayed alive. Well, that's what happened here. Sisera was the leader of the army, and everyone gets killed but him. So it indicates that he did not have great character. In verses 18 to 20, we find out the details of where Sisera escapes to, the tent of Jael. She was the wife of Heber, I'm not good at these names, and as a family, they were friendly with King Jabin and in turn his warriors, of who Sisera was the leader. Did you get all that? Jael cares for Sisera by giving him food, drink, and a warm place to sleep. Sisera instructs Jael to deny his presence if anyone is going to come looking for him, as I suspect he was aware that Barak would not feel like the battle was completed until Sisera was also dead. In verse 21, it tells us that Jael decides that it is time to end Sisera's life. And so while he is asleep, she drives a tent peg through his head. Now the prophecy Deborah gave to Barak is fulfilled. For Barak was successful in killing all of Sisera's men, but Sisera's death would be credited to a woman, and that woman was Jael. Verse 22 confirms Barak searching for Sisera, and that Jael lets him know that she has killed him and where Barak can find him. Now the confirmation of Deborah's prophecy is right before Barak's eyes, both of Sisera's death and that the final piece of the battle win was given to a woman to complete instead of to him. Although a gruesome account, it is an account that indicates to us how Deborah truly heard the word of the Lord given to her to share with Barak, how she obediently shared it, even if it may have been met with skepticism, how she accompanied Barak to the battle, encouraged him as he led his warriors, and then was witness to not only all the warriors of Sisera's being killed, but Sisera dying at the hand of a woman. What a woman of character Deborah was, and also what a character. Deborah lived out her callings, both to be a judge and prophetess. She was obedient to the Lord in sharing what he asked her to share. She fearlessly told Barak what his role in overthrowing Sisera and his warriors was going to look like. She accompanied and encouraged Barak as he headed into battle. And she saw her prophecies come to fruition and what the results of these prophecies looked like for the people of Israel. So now to Judges 5, which is a very long chapter, and I promise we're really going to skim it. It is known as the Song of Deborah, for both Deborah and Barak sang it the day Sisera was killed, and they knew that now there would be peace for the people of Israel. The song not only recounts the story of Judges 4 in greater detail, but it is a song of praise to God for doing what he promised by using Deborah, Barak, and Jael to overthrow the enemies of Israel and to finally give the nation some peace. It is also a strong warning to the rulers of opposing nations and the people of Israel themselves not to worship other gods, for then the wrath of the Lord will be upon them and life will be dismal. Verse 31 is the end of the song, and it reads, and I'll read it from several different translations. From the New Living Translation, "Lord, may all your enemies die like Sisera, but may those who love you rise like the sun in all its power." From the New International Version, "So may all your enemies perish, Lord, but may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace for 40 years. From the Message, "Thus may all God's enemies perish, while his lovers be like the unclouded sun. The land was quiet for 40 years. Why is this verse so important? I think it's important for it speaks to the powerful story of this time in Israel's history, where the people of Israel were given the gift of peace for 40 years due to the faithful obedience and character of a woman named Deborah. It is also an important verse, for it reminds us that there are dire consequences for those who do not live with a love for the Lord, and that there are great promises for those of us who do live with a love for him. Judges 4 and 5, as we have quickly moved through them this morning, record a very significant time in the history of the people of Israel. In these chapters, we are introduced to a character named Deborah. However, we find that she is not just a character, but she is a woman of character. Deborah stood out in the crowd for how she loved God and was obedient to his call on her life, even though at times I would suspect it would have been a difficult call to live out. Just think of regularly having to settle disputes about relationships between people or property. Never mind having to deliver uncomfortable prophecies on top of giving those judgments. I don't think this is a career that most of us would want to choose for ourselves. However, in reading these chapters, there are many things about Deborah's character to note. One, Deborah loved the Lord. Two, Deborah loved the Lord and prophesied even when it was difficult to do that. Three, Deborah did what she promised, and as a result accompanied Barak as he headed into battle. Four, Deborah was an encouragement to Barak on the battlefield and reminded him that he was not alone in the battle, as she was there physically and the Lord had gone before him. When we think of these four characteristics or attributes of Deborah, are there any that apply to us? Any that apply to our relationship with the Lord? Any that apply to our relationships with others? Will we be known as those who love the Lord and be like the sun when it rises in its strength amongst our family, our friends, and those we do not yet know? I hope and pray that as I move forward in my life, that I will more easily say yes and not be the negotiator or one who runs away or just says no. But I do know that being the human I am, I may find myself still in those situations. However, rereading this text and looking very thoughtfully at who Deborah was is a reminder to me and hopefully to all of us that when God calls us, sometimes to very difficult things, the promise also comes that he is with us and also goes before us. And may we hold to that when we are called to the unusual and the difficult and the challenging and the interesting. May it be so. And thank you again for letting me serve you this morning.